Viewer discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Dr. Drew, board-certified internist and addiction medicine specialist. Phone number 1-800-LOVE.
That's it.
1-800-LOVE-191. How you doing there, Drew?
No, Adam, where else are you going to get a chance to yap other than this show?
Well, we were just talking to producer Ann about all the people that don't want to do this show. I don't really have time to get into everyone specifically, but if you just close your eyes and picture some of the bigger, medium, and smaller stars out there, the people you see on television, you hear on radio, and you see in the movie theaters, those are the people that don't want to do this show. And I'm confounded by it each and every time, because these people are allegedly performers, artistes, comedians, people who allegedly have something to say. And I don't understand why they wouldn't love to get on this radio and just yap about anything. It's the easiest, funnest show I could imagine.
Yeah.
If I wasn't doing this show, I would love to do this show.
That's
right. As it is now, I do the show and I hate doing the show, but no.
But before you did it, though, you loved it.
I would do the show for free. This would be the easiest gig you'll ever have. Well, everyone wants to say they went on The Tonight Show or Letterman or whatever. But you have such a limited amount of time, and you got to pre-rehearse everything. And a lot of you aren't aware of this, but you do Leno, Letterman, Kilborn, any of those shows. You sit down and talk to their producers days in advance. You work out all the questions and all the answers. It's so scripted, and it's so rehearsed. And this show's so wide open, and I don't understand why these performers don't want to come on here and just get wide open.
Yeah.
Now, either they have something to hide, or maybe what they have to hide is they're not as entertaining as...
you are.
Maybe society thinks they are. Blah, 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 blah. But anyway, cowards, all of them. Drew, I got this test the doctor gave me.
I have to wipe
a little fecal matter into an envelope and send it back to him.
We know you have blood out your rectum here, see? Look at that cholesterol. That's amazing.
Well, what's my cholesterol, Drew?
It's excellent.
What is it?
Total was 190. LDL, 98.
Well,
good.
What should it be?
Under 100 is considered outstanding.
Yeah.
And the HDL was 54.
Yeah, what is that?
It's marginal. Yeah? That was all right. It's
marginal?
Okay. It's okay.
What's the...
You need to exercise more.
Oh, how dare you? Why, what is a good HDL?
Over 60.
Oh, you want it higher?
Yeah.
Went the one higher and the other one lower, right?
Right.
Yeah, 54 is good, though,
right? It's not bad. It's not nearly as stellar as your 98. That's amazing.
Well, what is stellar? I mean, what's good about the 98 on the LDL?
That's the one that your body lays down into the arteries.
Uh-huh.
And that below 100, there's actually some evidence that you could reverse anything that's there below 100.
You mean if I had some artery blockage,
right.
I could
reverse it.
I could. So I got basically Drano going through my veins.
Mm-hmm.
Like that stuff you, that STP fuel treatment.
That's you.
That's coursing through me.
The Mobil 1?
No.
Oh, no.
That's oil.
Oh, that's the Mobil cleansing gas.
Yes. So... You take this, I'm not supposed to eat any red meat for 5 days,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm supposed to take a little stool sample. And he was telling me, like, well, it's a little difficult. I mean, you got to take some stool. I was like, done and done. I crap in the sink anyway. It's going to be no problem. Hey, I may have just crapped in the, do you crap into the envelope and send it back?
No, you could, I suppose. They'd be very impressed by that, but they just want a little smear there.
I don't know. I got a big duke. They should examine all of it. Drew, as far as your bowel movement goes, if you take a fingernail full of your bowel movement...
It's not like tracking bear, Adam.
That
okay.
Fingernail full covers the entire bowel movement.
You don't need that much, yeah.
But you just speck.
Yeah.
The end of a toothpick.
Yeah.
And out of a whole bowel movement, and it's done.
Yeah.
You know the contents of the entire bowel movement.
Well, they're just looking for blood.
Right.
That's all that is.
All right. So you can't eat any red meat because then that would put some blood out of you.
Possibly.
They can't tell the difference between cow's blood and your blood?
No,
they don't want to bother.
Yeah, it's just a heme check.
All right. Eric?
Oh, we're going to put the first idiot on the show?
Yep, go ahead. You're 18.
Yeah, how come every time after I masturbate or whatnot or have sex, I always got to pee afterwards?
That's how you're set up.
I mean, you have an urge to pee?
Well, not an urge to pee. Like, everybody does it, man. Like, right afterwards, you got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you have an urge to pee.
That's an urge to pee?
Yeah, I'm stupid. I just...
That's, of course, where you get the spray action right about then, too.
Right, because the first lump is a piece of old semen that was stuffed.
And Adam, can I ask you a question, man?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Man, I like the man show, man. That's the great. But I got to ask you a question. You should get Glenn Humplick and Andy from the Conan show with Jim Kimmel. And that'd be great, man. Put that on there. Because they're all funny people, man. And they're like the same. They're short. They're poor. They're a little pudgy. They're tight, man. They're
right. Fun. But here's the thing about funny people. I think he's talking about Glenn from the Tom Green Show.
Yeah.
Funny people are few and far between in this business. You got to spread them out. You can't get them all together.
Right, not all the same show.
I would like to start cutting them off. Like I'd like to do a game show that was hosted just by Jimmy's leg.
Yeah, you only a part of a Jimmy. It's not like when you're gonna have a steak dinner, you'll then add like elk on top of that, or turkey.
We're having lamb chops. Let's get some veal and some brisket on top of that. Your meat.
You get the potatoes now.
That's right. I don't know who the potatoes are, but that's right. Crystal?
Hi.
You're 13?
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, you urinate after you have a...
Your urethra is a little irritated at that point, so is your prostate, and so you feel the need to pee.
God does that to clean you out, though, right? Because if there's anything crawling up your urethra, you pee it right out.
It may help a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Go ahead, Crystal.
Well, my boyfriend wants to date other people while he's dating me, and I don't know what to say to that because I don't want to, and I told him that I didn't want to.
How old is he?
He is 15.
He is 15?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he told me that if I didn't let him, that he'd break up with me and then ask me back out. I told him I didn't. I wouldn't.
Go to hell. Get rid of him. This is a bad guy.
But I don't know, because he thinks I'm kidding around, and he thinks that I think that he's kidding around too. But you know, it's really bad because I don't really feel like he's kidding around.
He's not kidding around. So get rid of him.
All right.
Hey, Crystal, turn your radio down.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. This is, by the way, what it sounds like whenever you do those shows, like those cable shows where, and from Los Angeles, Dr. Drew Pinsky's, and you're wearing that earpiece. Hi. Cable shows. Los Angeles,
this is what
Dr.
You hear.
Drew Pinsky's.
Hello.
And you're wearing that earpiece. Yeah. Hello. Hello. Can you hear me? Hello?
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
That's exactly what it sounds like, and people wonder why you seem a little... And then they watch you go, you seemed a little off.
Distracted.
You didn't talk for a long time, and then you talked right when that other guy talked.
Here's what they don't know. There's a delay. So
yes.
There's a little weird pause there. Then, when you talk, you hear your voice again a few seconds later, and then there's another delay before the person
responds. The only thing I could liken it to was singing the national anthem at Dodger Stadium. Mm. Oh, say. Yeah, it was very hard. I had to plug one ear. That was on Frozen Ham Night. Almost didn't get out of there alive. Emily?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay, I've been dating my boyfriend for about 5 months, and he is interested in having sex, and I'm all for it, too, but I have a bunch of scars on my leg, and I'm not really sure how to explain them to him.
From cutting?
Yeah.
Do you still cut?
Yeah. Mm. I'm trying to stop.
Are you in professional care?
Yeah, I'm on a lot of medication.
Does he know that?
He knows that I see a psychiatrist, but he doesn't know why.
Where are the scars on your leg?
It's like my upper thigh.
Why don't you tell him you got them during a prison break? No?
Yeah.
Not good?
I don't know. It's pretty obvious.
Attack of some killer chickens?
Yeah.
Roosters?
Say your aunt has a Siamese cat.
Uh-huh.
And it was on your lap, and you're petting it, and the dog came running into the room, and the thing just peeled out on you, and you're wearing these loose-fitting culottes, and it didn't heal right, and it got infected. He'd buy it. You're real specific, though, the Siamese cat will do that.
Yeah, the cartoon one that goes and runs in one place for a few seconds.
Hold on. Are you telling me animals don't burn out before they take off like they do in the cartoons?
What is that sound, Anderson?
That said floppity, floppity, yeah, floppity, yeah. Floppity, and then they take off.
No, you can't get it. Yeah. That
one. See, that whole time is when the animal's burning out before they take off.
Yeah, keep scratching and scratching and scratching. But listen, Emily, the deal is you need to be honest with him. He's your boyfriend, right? You're going to be very intimate with him.
Yeah.
He needs to know who you are, and you need him to know who you are and what you're struggling with. It's all right.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, look, but the important thing is to stop, you know.
Cut it.
Before you do it, before you talk to him.
Do you have any fresh ones?
Yeah.
That's a little freaky.
And they're all on the, do you say inner thigh?
No, upper. Like
upper, the top.
Do it right here.
Yeah.
Like above your knee.
You have like tic-tac-toe stuff?
No, it's all in lines and rows.
What happens when you have to put on a bathing suit?
I don't really go swimming.
Okay. All right. Well, he's a screwed up guy too, right?
Well, not really.
He's not? He's a normal guy?
As far as I know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he'll love you anyway. But take care of the cutting and don't worry about him so much.
Yeah. He's going to be having sex. He's going to be very happy.
Right.
Yeah. And he'll ask you later about the scars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the guy going to break a stride for that?
No.
Is there anything that can make him break a stride?
No.
Unless he distract the woman, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It could freak him out. He doesn't care.
Here's the point. When a guy's getting laid, especially for the first time, he doesn't bring up anything.
Yeah, it's like a bird of prey or something, you know, tipping off one of its prey. I'm coming. So if you're
right, that was a decent analogy that sort of petered out.
Yeah, I couldn't quite deliver it. No, I couldn't get it.
Well, here's where the problem was. It's a bird of prey, but which one? You see, you should have went with eagle or hawk or something like that.
All right.
And then he's tipping off his prey.
The bunny rabbit.
Right. Specific there.
Okay. But I couldn't figure out how the bunny rabbit would have scars.
Look, you could pull off a prosthetic leg and throw it into a ceiling fan, and it probably wouldn't throw him off.
Yeah.
Right?
No, nothing. Afterwards, he talked about it a little bit. Speaking of limbs coming off, do you hear about that shark attack? That kid got his arm torn off?
Yeah.
That's wild.
You didn't hear about
it? I was gone. That's when I was out of town. I just heard about it today.
Well, let me tell you this. This uncle of his, the guy who saved him.
Turned out he was chumming.
Was he?
Turns out he was trying to get sharks.
He was?
And the kid walked out into it.
Really?
That's why non-attacking sharks attacked.
So the guy, this is a story in Florida where the 8-year-old kid got his arm taken off.
It's also why he was prepared to handle these sharks and, you know.
Oh,
He was actually shark fishing at the time. He wanted to bring the sharks in.
Well, he's been tarnished a little in my mind.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Well, what do you mean? You got an 8-year-old, you're chumming the waters, and he decides to go out waiting, and you're just standing there?
Let's think of our callers for a second.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And he does come from Florida.
Strike two.
Right. Right.
And how else did he know to, you know, open the shark up and kind of kill it? And I mean, who?
Well, he did seem to be ready. I think he shot the thing.
Yeah, he knew exactly what to do.
But he dragged the thing in and opened his mouth, pulled the. That's an uncle. I tell you, if my dad was on that beach and I was getting eaten by a shark, he would have been in the car, would have heard the car backfire. The last thing I would have heard was the car backfire and seen just the taillights of my dad's old VW bug in the distance as he burned rubber for home. Not even home. I think he would have got something to eat. Maybe drive through and then home. This guy pulls this 8-foot bull shark up onto the sand, opens its mouth, pulls his nephew's arm out. And by the way, where is your mind at on the adrenaline level when you're doing that kind of thing? You know what I mean? Like, when you're fishing your 8-year-old nephew's arm out of the mouth of a bull shark, you got to be just flying. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone could have put a sprinkler key in his back, and he probably would have just kept going, right?
Sure.
He's got the shark's mouth open. He pulls. So he goes into the water, I think. He drags the shark up onto the beach. Then he pulls the arm out. Then I think he shoots the shark.
Then he shoots it?
Or maybe shoots it, then pulls the thing out.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I want to party with this guy. This is a guy who's ready. You know those movies where people panic and they freeze and they don't know what to do and they start running for the phone? No, not this dude.
G. Gordon Liddy.
He's into the water.
Yeah.
I like that guy. Rebecca?
Hello.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, well, I'm pretty much straight, but, you know, I definitely am attracted to guys, but sometimes, you know, I find myself looking at girls, you know, like my friends and whatnot, but, you know, it kind of, freaks me out, you know. I want to know how I know for sure if I'm...
At 16, you don't, your compass is going all different directions. You're trying to figure out who you are, what you are, what your sexual orientation is.
Yeah.
It's all right. All these feelings will sort themselves out with time.
Yeah, but, like, in my family, I'm not sure, but whatever, it seems to me that there is homosexuality going on in my family, you know, a lot. Like, my uncle, I'm not sure about, but my mom, she's lesbian.
Your uncle's gay?
I'm not sure. I think he
might. Is your mom's brother?
Yeah, my mom's brother.
Yeah. See, he wouldn't have gone into the water to get that bull shark out. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm not sure. Not to save us, no.
And your mom is a lesbian?
Yes.
All right. Are you worried that there's some sort of genetic predisposition in your family?
I'm not quite sure.
I've never seen a study where a family was sort of looked at for the genetic elements of predisposition for homosexuality.
It's not like breast cancer.
Right.
Look at it this way. You got it out of your system.
Yeah.
You got one gay in the family, and there. You filled your quota. You can't be gay.
Yeah.
You're right. The statistics go against you.
Well, it's true.
A little bit.
Rebecca?
Yeah?
Have you ever been with a woman?
Oh, no. But, because I don't know what to think, you know. Obviously, no, I'm only 16, you know. As you said, my compass is whatever.
But listen, just relax. And in our culture, even women that are clearly heterosexual find other women attractive and sexually arousing. And that's just the way our culture is.
No, it's not just, you know, finding women attractive. It's like, if I'm online or whatever, I go, like, on female websites, you know, whatnot. And I don't know, I just... Like, I'm like, whoa, stop this, but I can't. It just turns me on, and I don't know.
Oh, baby. Maybe have you been with a guy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do you have a boyfriend?
Not right now.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have one brother.
Do you have any history that might have made you confused about your sexual orientation?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Anything happened to you growing up that might have made it difficult to figure out what you are?
Oh, no. It's, no, my family's, pretty sane, well, for any family as could be, but, but, you know.
Listen, you're not a lesbian.
Not now. Okay. Not at this moment.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I know I'm not.
Okay. All right.
I'm definitely attracted to guys.
All right, then relax.
All right. You're a little curious. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just relax.
Okay.
All right? It's no big deal. It's okay to do a little exploring and have a little curiosity. Don't question yourself.
Okay.
Just don't do anything, ever, with anyone. All right? That's my message to everyone.
That's good,
don't beat yourself up. Don't feel bad about
yourself. It's fine.
That's right.
Stay to yourself.
Stay home.
Keep yourself,
Watch the TV. That's all you need to do. Danny?
Yeah, what's going on?
You're 14?
I'm 14.
You have a poem about me?
I have a poem about you, Adam.
Yeah, this really sounds tantalizing. It says it's not that good or accurate on the screen.
That's why I haven't picked this call yet.
Ridiculous. All right.
True.
Here goes.
Go ahead.
Adam Carolla is my god. In the man show dressing room, he shot his wad. He enjoys Playboy and midget stump porn. God bless the day this wonderful man was born. The women all want him, the men want to be him, and he's never even had to step foot in a gym. He doesn't depend on lube, he beats his meat dry. Him and Drew never see things eye to eye. He's on Comedy Central every Sunday night. Between me and the juggies, it was love at first sight. All of Adam's words just flow, from welcome to Loveline to mahalo. I love Adam, yes it's true, but gay porn still makes me go ew.
Wow.
That's a good poem.
Not bad.
Thank you.
Not bad at all.
14.
I don't,
14. What would you have produced at 14?
The man from Nantucket, right?
Yeah, right.
That's good. The only inaccurate part is I don't like midget stump porn.
Oh, you are a fan.
No.
You've said that.
I may have said that. That's
took
fine.
Your words.
Right? That's fine. And I used to work at a gym.
Did
but other than that, it's completely accurate. That's
How
good.
Did we go from...
It's a work in progress.
I want to know what was going on in his head that he went from beating it dry to you and I not seeing eye to eye. That's the transition that freaked me out a little bit.
I like that one. And that's true. And I've saved millions of dollars in lubrication over the years.
I'm a dry beater.
Smart. I would tell, if I have a son, I will tell him, beat it dry. Get used to it, son. If you ever get trapped, you know, downed plane, you're out in the desert, you have to survive. Of course, you have to beat off. You will be able to achieve that.
Man show commercial here.
Like
Thank
being
you.
In football practice. You got to practice in the rain because you play games in the rain.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Danny.
All right.
That was wonderful.
Wouldn't that be a case for using lube?
The rain? No. Oh, yes, because you use, because there's lubrication when you're with a woman.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
What the hell is he talking about? 14. Let's give him a break.
Let's not burst his bubble. Elizabeth?
Hey.
You're 15?
Yeah.
Drew, stop banging around that mic, would you please? What's up?
Okay. I have a little brother, and lately I've noticed that he's been, like, acting really gay. And I wanted to know if in any way that could be my fault.
Hold on. That doesn't rhyme at all. If acting really gay, and if it could be my fault in any way, would rhyme. But don't put way before the last word of the sentence. Right, Drew?
Yeah, right. It wouldn't work.
Okay. It may be your fault.
How did you do this to him?
Because, like, when we were smaller, like, I would always put makeup on him. And then, like, whenever I'm around him, I'm always, like, telling him, ooh, look at that guy, or, like, ooh, that guy's hot, and just stuff like that.
No, that doesn't affect
that
sexual orientation, no.
No.
Really? The makeup thing is a little troubling.
Really?
That he allowed her to do that.
Well,
he was a cute lady.
He's 13.
Well, how old was he when you put the makeup on him?
It was like last year, like when he was 12 and I was like 14.
Yeah,
he used to always play tricks on me and my friends when we were asleep. Just pour honey in our hair.
So you put the makeup on while he was asleep?
Yeah. Well, no, we got him, and one of my friends held him down, and I just put lipstick on it, and then we threw him outside and locked him out.
All right, that's assaulting him.
That's fine, though. That's healthy.
That's okay, yeah.
But he put honey in my hair.
His friends will do far worse things to him.
Do you think he's gay?
Well, I don't know, because he just always, like, he'll look at guys sometimes, and then he moves his hands and he talks in that way, you know?
No.
Leave him alone.
He's fine.
Whatever he is, he's fine.
All right.
Because that's not about
Adam.
You.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you too, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. You got a younger sister for me?
No.
Oh.
He's coming to meet you.
15.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go meet you.
All right.
I'll pretend I'm 18, okay?
All right. I'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bring that fake ID. Yeah, you can't turn your brother gay that way, can you?
No.
I used to love, one thing you miss when you move out, you stop living with people, is torturing them while they're asleep.
Yeah.
My friend Chris, his little brother, I lit a firecracker off in his room while he was asleep on his bunk bed.
Yeah.
You know the thing that was funny?
He didn't wake up.
He didn't budge. I lit one firecracker off. I threw it just inside the door, and I shut the door. Yeah. Pow. I mean, regular firecracker.
Yeah.
No. So I lit another one off and put a little closer. You know, he was on the top bunk. Nothing. So I set the next one just right on the edge of the bunk and lit it off. Now, when he woke up, it was great. It's always great to see a person wake up out of it with the remnants of what you did to them on them.
Yeah.
He had the paper from the firecracker in his hair, and there was still like a cloud of smoke.
This is as he's running out of the room yelling at you.
No. He's groggy. He's looking around. What's up? What's funny? Yeah. My buddy Ray later broke his arm when they were wrestling.
Same night?
It could have been a week later. All right, what do you want to do here, Drew? Take a break,
yeah.
All right, who are we going to talk to when we come back?
Oh, this woman, Haley, was on the board last night. Let's get her again tonight.
All right. She has a hard time saying no to older guys. We'll talk to her after this.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And let's hop back on the phones and speak to Haley. Haley?
Hi.
16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I just want to start by saying that I love you guys. I listen to the show religiously.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so I called one time last summer about being attracted to older guys, but now it's progressed into not really being able to say no to them.
Hmm.
Like when they ask me to do stuff.
Like what?
Like, I mean, I could practically hate this person, and like they're like, oh, make out with me, and I'm like, okay.
How about a BJ?
Maybe.
No, I mean, I was asking. I mean, with that.
Yeah, sure.
No. Are you having sex with these guys?
No.
How much older?
Anywhere from 17 to 27.
You're just making out with them?
And making out leads to, like, third base.
Is third base oral sex?
Yeah.
How many times have you done the BJ round?
Like, twice, but...
Yeah. It's not too much.
It's bad. And I, like, attach myself. Is that bad?
You attach yourself to the guy?
To the guy's penis?
No, to the guy, like, emotionally.
Yeah, that's not good. So what's up with you?
Well, the same thing happened last year when I called, because Stryker was subbing.
Yeah.
Lovely. And it's like, I don't have a dad.
Okay.
Point blank.
Did your dad do anything before he left you?
He impregnated my mom. That's about it.
So he abandoned the family.
Yeah. Were you victimized in any other way?
Well, my mom had a jerk off of a boyfriend.
And what'd he do to you?
Well, he hit me. I mean, he doesn't even know me, but he hit me.
Hmm.
Yeah, I always love when a guy does that, just comes in a new house, starts beating whatever kids are there.
Hmm.
That's a lovely, lovely individual.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there you go.
You've had some stuff go down, and this sense that you can't say no, you sort of fall under someone's spell when they ask you to do things. That's what a victim does. So you got to stop being a victim, first of all. Secondly, obviously you got to stop looking for a male figure. You got to stop. It's not the way you're going to find a relationship.
Yeah.
And then work on finding a relationship. Take your time with these things and really establish a contact with someone, a connection.
Drew.
Yeah.
I don't think men do this, but it did. Well, you may have, because you were kind of awkward and a wuss, but a passionate wuss in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel like you needed a woman to sort of complete you, make you whole?
I don't know I had that thought, but I certainly behaved like that.
Well, you were clingy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh.
But that's almost just more for yourself than it is for her and her role in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just insecurity and neuroses, but it's not really about them.
Right.
And I suppose Haley may be doing the same thing, but I've always sort of felt life-wise that...
You'd be better off without a woman? You'd be better off with another man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, a passionate man like yourself.
Oh.
No, I mean, life-wise, I thought, I need my friends, I gotta eat, I gotta make some money, I gotta do something with my career, I gotta do something. I got stuff I want. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying,
but
I never had
that, like, I need a woman. Now, I'd like a woman.
No, I'd like
to hang with a woman, and I'd sure like to be distracted by a woman, but I didn't feel like there was a part of me that was empty that they were going to fill up.
No. I had an I need piece, but not going to fill something empty, no.
And I think, and I feel bad for a lot of young girls who, when they're 16, 17, 18, they're calling the show, they should be just focusing on, where am I going to go to college? What am I going to do for a living?
That's right.
How am I going to have a good life? What do I want to do? Do I want to travel? Do I want to explore? What is it that I want? But instead, they're trying to make some 24-year-old doofus happy.
Listen, the people who study some of the male-female behaviors in adolescence suggest that the women are looking for interpersonal competency, and the men are looking for individuation.
Yeah, what's
men,
that mean?
Men are trying to break free, be by themselves.
Right.
Women are trying to form relationships and form them well.
Right. We just, as 18, 19, 20-year-old guys, we just dumped that sack of a mom we had for the last 20 years. We need a little breathing room. Now you guys are trying to reel us back in.
Other data suggests that 65% of women going to college want to find a husband in college. 65%.
Okay, there's nothing.
This is 0% of guys.
There's nothing wrong with having a kid and making a home and all that kind
of
stuff.
Sure, of course.
Or being in a great monogamous relationship, getting married, all that's fine. But you ladies that are 16, 17 in that high school range, start thinking like guys.
No.
No, I don't mean sexually. I mean, guys look out for themselves.
Guys
are thinking about playing football, playing baseball, and going off somewhere to college or going to mechanic school.
More importantly, they need to realize fully how guys think.
Right.
and not expect them to think differently than they do.
Steve?
Yeah?
You're 35?
Yep.
What's up?
Adam.
Steve.
Hello.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Gosh.
Steve Cahila.
I've always wanted to get on Loveline. Question for you, Adam.
Yeah.
It's about the statute of limitations on seeing a buddy's old girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you get out the Geneva Convention paper?
Yeah, all right. It's right in front of me.
Okay.
I thought this was a good subject for Adam. Old good friend of mine, known him 10 or 12 years, dated this gal, I guess 12 or 13 years ago. She's been married since then. He actually put us together and then kind of pulled back and said, oh, I just thought you guys would be friends.
What happened to her marriage?
I don't know the details. I don't know her that well yet.
Okay.
So she's already been married, not to this, your ex-friend.
No,
your friend.
No.
All right, this is
Game on.
This is free and clear, yeah.
Because there was
somebody else's husband.
There was a penis. Wife, there was a penis in between your friend's penis and your penis. Otherwise, you'd be rubbing penises.
Now, what if he still has aspirations that he could see himself in that position?
He set you up, right?
Well, he did, but then he kind of said, well, I was just thinking you guys would be friends.
Well, maybe he knows something about her that he's afraid you're going to blame him for.
Oh.
What's that mean? No, I don't know what
that
you mean.
Maybe she's a little something going on, and doesn't want to screw his friend up by getting her.
No.
Getting them together.
Guys don't. They're not that unselfish. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No, he blew it. I mean, did he dump her?
No. I think she got married.
Well, so she dumped him.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about the friend thing and dating the friend's ex. A lot of it is based on who dumped who.
Yeah, and really the friend can tell you if he's done or not.
Well, here's what I'm saying. You know, I like to liken everything to a car.
Yeah, of course.
But here's the deal. If you're driving a car for a couple of years and then you go, yeah, I'm tired of this car, I'm going to sell it and get a new car, you don't really care if your friend drives the car you're selling. But if that car gets repossessed and you see your friend in it,
oh yeah,
or that car gets stolen and you see your friend in it, oh, or your friend steals that car and you weren't done with it,
no,
that car left you,
yeah,
that's a different situation, right?
Right.
So he did not leave. She left him.
Right.
Which ups the ante a little bit. But it's been a million years. It's been 13 years, Steve? 12 years?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's long enough. Your friend shouldn't he be moving on a little bit?
Oh yeah, I would think so. But you know, it's just he's a good friend, and just wanted to get someone else's perspective on this before we have sit down and talk about it.
Well, do you have to sit down with him?
Yeah, I kind of feel like I do.
All right. Well, why
let him talk for himself?
I don't know. He's a good friend. Why don't you talk to him and just tell him you're interested and just have a heart to heart and give him a chance and do this. This is what I do. Because it makes people do stuff they don't want to do, and that's what I'm all about. You say to the guy, look, I'm interested in this girl, but if you're still interested in her, if you know what you like to do? You put people in bad positions. If you say to me right now, I forbid you from dating this girl, hey, I'll back off. And then, you know, everyone's knee-jerk reactions. Oh, no. If you tell me I can't date her, hey, I won't date her. I respect you, man. And, of course, the answer is always like, oh, no, I wouldn't tell you okay, thanks. I'll be banging her this weekend. Hey, Drew, what is that about? You know I ran into today at the car wash?
Huh.
And let me tell you something what I like about the car wash, by the way.
God. Just tell me who you ran into.
No, I'll tell you why I like the car wash. And you guys tell me if you can identify with this. Car wash has carte blanche to sell anything they want
right
inside of their little boutique while you're waiting around.
Why do they choose cards and smelly things to hang from your rearview mirror?
No, that's not my point. The point is they sell everything.
Yeah.
Right. You go in there, you can get anything. Okay. And the upper scale ones sort of stick to the car theme a little
bit. I was going to say, the car theme is there.
The car theme is always there. But you go down to the Hollywood one.
Hmm.
I was down on Gower in Santa Monica. It's a little slice of Mexico down there. They were selling a crossbow pistol.
My God.
Bongs, pipes, skateboards, rollerblades, boom boxes. There was a back support, you know, those elastic things that go around your back. They had like some workout apparatus, like some free weights and stuff, along with the cards, the air fresheners, and everything else. And I just thought, wow, that's what I love about car wash. You sell whatever you want. And you're in there. And I was seriously looking at that like crossbow. Because when you're captive, when your car's not coming around for another 12 to 18 minutes and you're just sitting there,
you
start eyeballing stuff. Yeah. You're like, yeah, I need one of those bow pistols. Sure, why not? I mean, I don't want a gun, but a bow pistol, that's a noble way to kill somebody. And then I was like thinking, oh, maybe I'll pick up a bong, a bow pistol, and one of these air fresheners. Oh, give me that back support. And how about that tennis bracelet for my lady friend? I mean, this was crazy, but I ran into the guy who used to be the hairdresser on Loveline, the TV show.
Oh, Michael.
No, Troy.
Oh, Troy, yeah.
Yeah, whose name, because it's a weird name.
You couldn't.
And let me tell you about all you guys out there with weird names. They don't stick that well.
No.
They don't have the adhesion quality of a Dave or a Rick or a Bob. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't come flying out. So he sat down and we was talking. And I was thinking the whole time, what the hell is this guy's name? And he was talking and I was talking. And then you know what you do? You overcompensate by really proving to them you know them. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that time?
I remember when I used to look forward to sitting in that chair and have you work on my hair, because that's what you do. You're the hair guy, and you worked on Loveline in the last season.
Yeah, went to there a season and a half.
Yeah, I saw you at that rap party. Great, great. How's that? You know, you always wore that red shirt. Boy, I remember that one. It looks like you cut your mustache off. Yeah, and the whole time you're thinking, what the hell's the guy saying? What the hell's the guy saying? What the hell? But if I can just keep pouring on details about how well I know him, he's not going to sweat it. And then the great thing about life is you're talking, then my car comes up, and I give the old, there's my car. And he goes, well, and they always make sure and do this. Well, Adam, it was great seeing you, Adam. You know, and you're like, yeah, it's good seeing you, buddy. And then you get in your car, and the door shuts, and you put it in gear, and you go, Troy.
Ugh.
And then now it's weird. Now it's like, now you want to, like, yell something out the window. See you, Troy! Bye, Troy! But now it's too late. But I want to, like, you know, send the guy a letter saying, Dear Troy. Dear Troy.
I hate that like Troy, nothing Troy. Else. I really hate that.
And you do it as much as I do, right?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Let's go to break.
All right. When we come back, we'll speak to Chris. He's 34. He asked a girl out, but she didn't say no right away. Can he ask her again? Oh, this is going to get ugly.
Yeah.
After this.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
This is John Favreau, and you're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yes, you is. It is Love Line. That was Drew's favorite, John Favreau. Got a new movie out. Supposed to be real good, Drew.
Nice.
1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get to Chris. Chris is 34. Chris?
Hi, I am Dr. Drew.
Hi, Chris.
I've heard your show before, and you've given some good advice, and hoping you can help me. Basically, my situation is I've known this this woman for about 9 months now, and really attracted to her. I mean, I felt like I was struck by lightning when I first saw her, and ever since then, it's been kind of like a roller coaster ride a bit. I don't know if she's attracted to me. We've had many conversations, and you know, she's called me up, and we've talked a lot. And
how old is she?
I'm sorry?
How old is she?
She's 6 years younger than I am.
And why didn't you ask her out?
Well, I did ask her. I've asked her out before.
And what does she say?
Well, she had just broken up with her boyfriend. This is about, I've known her for about...
Say anymore.
Drew, have you ever known of, heard of, or met a woman, or read about a woman who broke up with their boyfriend, was single, but met a guy they really liked and didn't go out with them?
No.
That's the whole point.
That guy lined up 3 weeks before she broke up. What are you talking about?
Right.
And you got to get down to this one.
So you mean I was screwed right from the beginning?
And yeah. You're listening to this?
I love this. I've had girlfriends where, like, we broke up that night, and I call them the next morning. It's like, we got to reconcile. And they're like, I'm seeing somebody.
Yeah.
What? Jesus. You just left last night. Yeah. Well, yeah, they had it lined.
They lined it up.
Lined it up. Yeah. So she broke up with someone, and that's why she doesn't want to see you?
I don't know.
So she was still with the guy? You guys could go out? Or
No. She had just broken up with him. This is months ago.
He missed the pun.
Right.
Okay.
She just broke up with him.
And I had asked her out after that.
Right.
And
what did she say when he asked her out?
It wasn't a good time.
Right.
But since then, for the last 6 months, we've
become pretty good friends.
Yeah, and I mean, more than I've ever been friends with a girl before, you know, with a woman before.
Well, right, because you're highly motivated.
Yeah, you want to land this one.
Well, I do, big time.
Right.
I mean, she's everything I've ever, you know.
What is it about her that you find so attractive?
Just a little quick background. I'm a musician and she's a dancer.
What does that mean?
But beyond that, I mean, everything that I admire in a woman or looking for in a woman,
such as
being hot and sexy and
what?
And,
what? Hold on. What kind of dancing does she do?
Go-go. Not topless.
Where does she go-go dance?
I can't give that away.
Well, how many?
Well, let's just put it this way.
How many go-go bars are there these days? Hollywood Gardens? Hollywood a go-go?
I don't know that place.
Oh, no, I hit it. That's over in North Hollywood.
But regardless.
All right.
The point being is that she's intelligent, she's witty.
All right. There's no doubt she's a dynamite lady and a hell of a catch.
Extremely.
Yeah, you just can't. We're not arguing about that.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a Nicole Kidman's a nice catch, too.
Well,
You ain't getting her either.
Well, yeah, I know that. But Nicole Kidman doesn't call me up and speak to me for 6 hours or talk to me last night about something.
About other dudes.
What is she talking about?
Oh, just her feelings and stuff. And I'm one of those nice guys, you know, just listens and, you know,
her feelings about what?
About everything, about her life.
What did she talk about last night?
Oh, she came to a show. We had a little show at a club, and she was going off about how she was feeling. She went with her sister, and how she was feeling, kind of like neglected in a certain respect, as far as her sister kind of like she feels is prettier than she is, I don't think that. I think she's
all right.
She's calling for a little bit,
Chris.
Let
me explain something. Hold on a second. Here's what women do, and it's very cruel, and guys wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
If a guy's not interested in a woman,
that's it.
A guy does not want to have his ego stroked by somebody he don't want to F.
Right.
That means zero.
Yeah.
If you're some big, fat, homely chick, and you're telling me I'm the cat's pajamas, I don't care. As a matter of fact, a guy would take one hot chick telling him he was hot, rather than a million chicks he wasn't attracted to telling him how hot he was, how handsome he was, how smart he was, how sexy he was.
I think what he would hear from those million is just wah, 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 wah. He wouldn't hear it.
No, you just hear ugly and desperate. That's the mantra. Well, here's the point. You don't want to hear it. Why? There's nothing in it for you. I mean, why? What's in it for you as a guy? Women will do this.
Yeah, guys are just, listen, they look fishing for compliments just to set their number. They're trying to figure out where they fit.
Right.
Right.
We want to get laid, too. I mean.
But you want to know if this one finds me attractive, then one like that elsewhere.
But even that isn't worth the work.
Right.
For guys. But a woman will hang out with a guy who makes them feel good. And a lot of women, especially go-go dancers, like to have a guy around to make them feel like a queen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, it's their posse is mm-hmm. what it is. And mm-hmm. I think that's what Chris has turned into here.
Yeah, but I'm not a groupie or a fan.
No, you're her posse.
You're a girlfriend.
You're one of her girlfriends.
Yeah, you're a girlfriend.
Thank you, Drew.
Oh.
So, listen, Chris, here's what you got to do. When is the last time you asked her out?
I just asked her out today. That's why I'm calling you guys.
And what'd she say?
I asked her out. She wanted to go have sushi, and she said she couldn't give me a reason why she couldn't, but she says not right now, and asked her if I could ask her out again.
And all right, Chris, hold on.
And what'd she say when you said, could you ask her out again?
No.
She said she would
consider
think about it.
Oh. Think about whether you could.
Ooh, F word there, Anderson.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, be careful there, Chris.
Sorry.
All right, Chris, let's talk to her. Let's work this out.
Yeah, once and for all, let's figure out what's going on in her head.
All right.
What's that mean?
Let's get her on the horn.
Oh, dude, no.
Yeah. I know. You don't want to know.
Yeah.
You need to know.
In all honesty,
yeah.
I would I could go on being her friend if that's what it meant.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think she's that special. And I even said that to her. I mean, if she said no to
Chris,
me.
Chris, you are so full. Your denial levels are so profound. If she could tell you tonight, there is no way I will ever date you or be attracted to you. It's just never going to happen. I don't care what you wish.
If I could find that out.
Yeah.
In all honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would clinch it. But
yeah. Suddenly the friendship and this is just a special person has no meaning to you.
All right, listen.
That would be her wish.
In all honesty, Chris,
yeah.
That is her wish. When you call somebody and who hasn't been in a relationship for how long?
9 months.
She hasn't been in one in 9 months?
It's been a year for me.
And she's single?
I would think so. I don't know her that. I mean, I don't go to her place. Or
right. She may not be. That's the other thing. She may have a boyfriend.
And you say to her,
possibility.
She's probably dating the DJ from the Go-Go Club. Show your appreciation. ATM by the door. Happy hour. Businessman's lunch. Listen, Chris, this is dead. And here's what I want to say to her. We're running late for break, but it's really struck a nerve in me and Drew. When she says, and you got to hear me,
okay.
When she says, I don't want to go out with you tonight, and if you ask me again, we'll see, maybe, that is as close to a definite no as you're going to get
ever.
From somebody
ever.
Who's your friend.
Ever.
That is no.
You know what?
I
don't think you're going to get a stronger no from
you
somebody
will not
who's your worst enemy.
No than that.
Frame your
right.
worst enemy.
That
period.
Is, so that is the equivalent to her saying no.
No and never.
So
and
hear
I think
it.
If he wants to hear that, we'll get her on the phone and she'll tell you.
Hear it. We'll take a break.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, let's hop back to the phones and speak to Lisa's 22.
But before we go to Lisa, do you want to ask Chris if you want to get his girlfriend on the phone?
Ooh, he doesn't want to do that,
yeah.
though.
Huh?
Chris?
Yeah, you know what? I respect her and care for her too much to do that, put her on the spot. And
all right.
I don't mind being the tortured soul and her friend if that's what she wants, I guess. But you guys are right. You know, I mean, it feels like that.
Now, you know she doesn't see you that way. And, that's life. But here's the thing. It's not that doesn't happen to every guy and every woman a number of times throughout their dating career.
Yeah.
But the question, the smart people are the ones who find somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's all you got to do. It's not that it's been done to you. It's that you go do it to somebody else.
Yeah.
But it's the marketplace is huge.
I know, but
huge.
She's so unique. I don't know what to tell you guys.
What is so unique?
I know,
about
but look, haven't we all? Here's the thing that's great about this. She's so unique, and so was the one Drew pined over, and so were the five I pined over. They were very, very special and unique to all of us. And everyone who's listening has a version of this in their life.
I know.
That's what you got to start. You got to stop obsessing on that person. Here's what you got to do, Chris. You got to get your band off the ground.
Tell me about it.
That'll fix everything in a heartbeat.
Yeah, the band's theme for... Bye. How's that?
All right, except for the S word.
No one's going to hear that now because he used a cuss word.
Yeah, it's very good, though.
Yeah.
He got a plug in for his band, and then he wove the S word into it, and now he lost his plug.
Sort of the way he runs his life, isn't it?
Yeah. Lisa?
Hi.
Hey, you're 22. What's up?
Well, first I wanted to tell you that, I don't know if you realize this, but your screeners are really horny. Or at least the guy I talked to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to fire him.
Oh, yeah? You know who I was talking to?
Yeah, Damien. Inappropriate behavior.
What did he say to you?
Well, I was talking about my nipples, and he wanted me to, compare my nipples to my friend who's sitting next to me and like look at hers to see if mine were really that big, and then I said no, they really are big, I've seen other women's nipples, and you know, and then I pointed out that I've been with women, and then he asked me to, like, how many and all this stuff. So.
Unacceptable.
Well, here's the thing about Damien.
Uh-huh.
He usually beats one out in the bathroom about 10:40.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does. So what happens is you know, the earlier calls are like, oh, what are you wearing, baby? And then it's like, yeah, what's your prom? All right, hold on. You know, when he's done. So I guess he didn't get one off tonight. Maybe he was talking to Ann, or he was distracted or something. But, oh, he was getting my coffee. Oh, he's beating off my coffee. That's what he's doing.
That's why I wonder why I had
that cream slick on the top. But the point is you know, guys will do that when they have a full tank, so to speak. So I got to apologize.
Every time they have a full tank, they got to do something about it. And that's why you do it in the sink.
Right.
You don't masturbate in the sink.
Wait, no, it's in the toilet bowl, right?
He pees in the sink.
My masturbating?
You pee in the sink.
Yeah, where do you masturbate?
And your socks.
First off, how dare you with these personal questions on a national radio show? I've done a sink job before.
Sink, okay. Sink.
But that's not my regular place.
Where's your regular place? The hamper.
Yeah. No. I lie on my back. I don't stand up.
Yeah, but you grab something out of the hamper.
Yeah.
I swear I've heard you say that you do it in the toilet bowl.
No, I may have done it in the toilet bowl once or twice, but it's not my normal spot. You can't do it in the toilet bowl because it gets all over the place. It's a disaster. Yeah. Now, I grab something from the hamper and, you know, have myself in a vertical or horizontal position. Yeah? Kneeling down?
In front of the toilet bowl, but that wouldn't be comfortable.
Yeah, but then I feel like I'm going to heave. Because whenever I kneel down from the toilet, I vomit. I don't even have to eat anything bad or be drunk anymore. If I, like, dropped a contact lens or something, I knelt down in front of the toilet, I just start heaving into it immediately. I can't clean the toilet for that reason. So I bend down and lean over and get in there. Blah, yeah, I've vomited in the toilet so many times. It's an involuntary reaction.
So who cleans your toilet?
Well, actually, I have a maid, and I pulled a great power move. You know what I like to do? My maid was over tonight.
Yeah.
And you know what I like? You know what makes me feel good about myself?
Oh, I can't wait.
I usually steer clear of my maid when she's in the house, but tonight.
But you run around embarrassed. She has to clean all your crap up. She, you know, just stay away from it. Right?
It is. Yeah, that's the problem with the hamper stuff.
She has to
take
the hamper and break things over her knee and
to get it into the washing machine. Yeah. She was raped by one of my gym socks once. I came in, they were rolling around. The gym sock had got a knife out of the drawer.
I just remember the Fantastic Voyage where the antibodies cling onto the people.
Yeah. So here's what I did tonight. It was a big move. And I suggest you guys all do this. Anyone who has a maid, it'll make you feel good about yourself. She was vacuuming. I got myself into position in front of the TV set. I put my feet up on the ottoman. And I did that thing where I move. Well, she vacuums around me. Yeah, that's a power move. You never felt better about yourself than when someone is vacuuming and you're watching TV and you do that thing where you lift your legs up as they slide the vacuum under, you put them back down, then they go around the other side and you lift them again.
I don't know how these 14-year-old girls decide that they need to write your name on a shoe.
It really made me feel good about myself, Lisa, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, you're cocky, and that's good.
But Lisa, what are you calling about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my areolas, they're really big. I have two questions, actually.
Right.
First, my areolas are big, and Adam was talking about what's good on breasts, you know, size of the nipple and color and all that kind of stuff last week. And then you asked the girl, what size is your areola? But you didn't go into it, and you didn't say what was good and what was bad. So I wanted to know, you know, I've been slightly insecure about it. Nobody picked on me for it. But.
Right. Well, how big are you? First off, they should be sort of close to the breast size. I think I like a big areola because it suggests a big breast.
Ah.
But even then, I don't mind it. And I'm a little freaky that way because a lot of guys don't like that.
Well, if you're freaky, then I'm talking to the wrong guy.
Well, how big are your breasts?
My breasts are a D, but I think I'm a double D now.
Uh-huh.
Is that the next step? They made some sound effect. Is that the next step? Double D?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's getting kind of tight.
And then the next step would be porn. And how big is the rest of you?
How big is the rest of me?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I knew this was coming. Well, I'm 5'8", and you can do your radio math.
All right.
I'm telling you the truth. I weigh 175.
5'8".
You're fat.
Hold on, Drew. Let me do the radio math. 5'8", 175 Bring the 7
around. Keep doing this.
Carry the 3. Okay, that is 5'6 1/4 192.
Ooh. Ew.
You're overweight. Yeah.
No? Okay. And how big are your areolas?
They're like 3.5 inches across. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Have you measured them?
Well, when I was talking to the screening guy, I didn't measure them, but then my friend got me a ruler, and I checked.
Oh, really?
You're talking about the radius or
the
diameter?
Radius. Not the radius.
The diameter.
Yeah, the diameter.
All the way across.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Radius is from the middle out.
Oh, is the radius from the middle out?
Yeah.
No, I never would have thought to measure that way. So you're saying 3.5 is bigger than, like, the lid of an applesauce bottle.
So what is that, like
that? Yeah.
Now, I'm showing you right now between my fingers 3.5
okay.
through.
All right.
I mean, it is bigger than the top of a standard size coffee mug.
So that's about right here, yeah. Right?
What are you talking about, Drew? She's talking about from one side.
There it is.
Yes, yes. This is actually... Drew's tracing my coffee mug now.
There you go.
And that's about 3 3.25 there, Drew. Thank you. Drew has just now held it up to his breast. That's are you sure you measured correctly?
Yeah, why?
Okay, because 3.5 is very big.
Yeah, they're big.
Okay.
They shrink a little when they get hard, but...
Sure. So you'd say the size of a lid of an applesauce container.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Okay, and... Yeah. The other question is, well, you're all right, but you say a lot of guys don't like the size of...
But let me tell you something, Lisa,
okay.
and don't take this the wrong way.
Okay.
But guys will see past big areolas much faster than they can see past a big ass.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's something on your body that you can't change,
yeah.
That's your areolas,
uh-huh.
And then there's something on your body you can change, that's your ass.
Or I could just stick to the Queen song about fat bottom girls and, you know, go for guys who like that, right?
Right.
All right.
Black dudes.
But so, the other thing is...
So, listen.
Huh?
Let's focus on what you can change, right?
Yeah.
And coincidentally, the thing you can change is the big stumbling block for guys.
Yeah.
And they don't know what size your areolas are when they're trying to pick you up at a bar.
Right.
But they know what size your ass is.
That's true.
So there's the thing to work on. I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm trying to be constructive here.
I know, and I do need to lose weight.
Okay, so there you go. You work on that, and you don't have to worry about the boys.
Yeah.
All right, so don't focus on the areolas.
Well, thank you.
All right, baby. Good times.
Okay, the other thing is maybe more of a Dr. Drew thing. My nipples are also very numb.
Oh, that happens.
And that's normal?
Yeah, as they move away from the chest wall, I can get a little more numb, so...
Also, and I'm just doing the math here, but when the breast is swollen, the areolas, I think, are going to tend to be stretched out a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
but to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And when you lose the weight, the ass shrinks, the breast shrinks some, the areolas come back a little bit,
possibly,
too.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll see.
Good times. Annie?
This is Tammy.
Oh, Tammy.
Yeah.
You're 23. What's up?
I've been married for 4 years, and when I first got married, my husband would go to, like, strip clubs with his friends, so I didn't think anything much of it. But it's been kind of bothering me, so this weekend I took him to, like, a men's club, and, you know, just so I can go in with him, and I had him, I guess, a lap dance.
Right.
And I think it really bothered me, you know. So.
Bothered you. He must have been bothered, too.
Yeah, it did bother him because, like, they're topless, you know, and she's, like, rubbing her boobs all over his head. And,
right.
And I know I took him there, and I wanted to make him, you know, I guess to, you know, because I'm trying to have a better relationship with him. And,
right.
What did you think was going to happen by taking him there?
Thought she was going to get PO'd.
What was your reasoning?
Well, yeah, what did you think, a rabbi was going to come out and sit down next to him, put his hand on his knee or something?
Well, elder?
I was the one that agreed to it. She asked, you know, and of course I said, yeah, sure, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
See, because he used to, when we first got married, he wanted me to dance for him, but I was always self-conscious about myself. And
all right, so what were you thinking here?
That to see what was so exciting about all this, you know.
So you wanted to participate with him on it?
Not really, no. I'm not like
What were you thinking, take him in there? What were you trying to prove?
Hey, what was he thinking, that idiot?
You know, he was just a lamb being led to slaughter.
No,
right.
You know
I mean, he just thought, oh, hey, okay, all right.
And Annie gave him that. It's cool. This is going to be fun. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I want to see what you go and do there.
Guys, understand when these traps are being laid for you, for Christ's sake. That's how Annie.
Tammy,
sorry.
So what were you thinking? What was the plan?
Well, I guess I pretty much wanted to see what they did for, I guess, these men that go in there. Because I want to do this for him. I don't want, you know, him to be.
No. This is, again, a woman not thinking like a man.
Let me explain the point of the lap dance. It is not the fact that you're having your lap danced upon in general. Otherwise, you get your mom or your wife to do it. Mm-hmm. It's that it's a strange and attractive woman who's doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's a male point of view, period. You have to accept that.
And if
God doesn't have to do that, and you don't have to let him do that.
Oh.
You understand? But that's what men are driven by. That's what they find arousing about that experience.
So, but what really bothered me was, you know, she was rubbing all over him, and then after, I guess I was upset about it, but I couldn't show that I was upset because I was the one that, okay, go ahead. And, you know, we went back to our room, and, you know, I guess my thought was he thinking about her?
Oh, Tammy.
But you know what, Tammy?
Yeah.
Here's what you got to know about men. And let me tell you something, women. If you, and Anne, I hope you're listening here. You cannot approach a man like he
is a woman.
You
can't do it.
If you look at him looking at pornography, is
like
cheating.
You, or like you looking at pornography,
right. And
don't forget it.
And
it's a different thing.
You break it down. He wants to be with her. He's fantasizing about her. This is something that all men do, and it means nothing.
This is a hyena looking at a herd of buffalo.
Right.
That's what it is. That's what guys are.
Right.
And they may be full.
They would still look.
They sit there and pace and look at the buffalo.
Yes. Gazelle would be
gazelle,
better.
Gazelle, okay.
Yeah, you'd see him more.
I shouldn't be worried if he's fantasizing about anyone.
No.
And you shouldn't even want to know what he's fantasizing about. Because
that's what I don't want to know. Because.
All right, but what's up with the sabotage?
Yeah, why?
And you.
Right.
The troublemaking.
And why can't you have your real feelings, and why do you deny yourself?
Well, I guess because I want to make him happy, and I don't.
You do.
Well, he married you, and he's staying with you, right?
He's happy.
Well, see, because we've been having problems, and...
All right. You know, well, what are the problems, Ben?
Well, because when we first got together, I kind of, like, left him for, like, a month, and I went with these friends that were, like, lesbian, and I never did nothing with them. I just kissed one, and he found pictures, and so we had a big problem about that, but then we stayed together. You know, we have three kids, and... But, I mean, now he's kind of, like, bringing it up, and...
Okay. Hey, can you stop having kids, please?
No, no more kids, no.
Thank you. Jesus Christ.
23, for crying out loud.
And sabotaging. Okay. Don't bring him to strip clubs. Don't bust his chops, but insist that he communicate with you, not about fantasies, not about lap dancing or anything sexual, just that he stays present in the relationship. And stop looking for trouble.
They need some help there.
Drew, you can't go to a strip club, can you?
No.
You're really screwed.
No, you know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
I used to say that, too.
Really?
Yeah, I used to go there.
When have you not gone to a strip club?
I took a long time off.
When?
I used to go to strip clubs all the time. No, I never went. See, I was poor. I couldn't go to strip clubs.
No, once
there's nothing worse than being that poor dude at the strip club where you're sitting there, you don't have enough for a lap dance, and you don't even have enough to throw the money down on stage, so you sit two rows back, so you're not right up against the edge of the stage. You just sit there nursing a Pepsi for 4 hours. It's really pathetic. There's nothing more pathetic than like a low roller at a strip club. You've never felt... Like more of a wuss than going into a strip club with like $18 in your pocket.
Now you know the first thing that bothers me about being in a strip club.
The money. Yeah, Drew can't just peel off cash that way. That's painful. And for Drew, actually, you could go out to a nice meal and spend a couple of $100.
Sure.
But if you had to peel off 20 at a time cash, you would go insane. You'd give her like 20 and be like, "Could you break this, honey?" I was at a strip club in Vegas like 2 weeks ago. The chick said, I got a nice lap dance," and she was like, you know what they do to you? They go, "You want another?" Mm. They're right into it,
right?
You know, and she goes, I swear to Christ, is what she goes. She goes, "In this room, we're in a little different room, not the basement with no windows in it, but I always step over to the VIP area.
They have basements with no windows."
Well, I don't know. Ah. I'd like to find out.
Jimmy goes, I see.
But she goes, it's 30 a dance, or you can have three for 100. I swear to Christ, that's what she told me. And I was like, let me get this straight. 30 a pop, yeah, or three for 100. She's like, yeah, that's with, you know, because, you know, when you do three, you want a tip. And I was like, what the hell kind of, only, you see, by the way, only super hot chicks wearing next to nothing can get away with this sort of god-awful sales pitch. You've never, you know, or it's 30 a dance, or it's 50 and I kick in the nuts. Well, what the hell kind of pitch was that? I did actually leave at that point.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I was insulted at the pitch. Three for 100. Or three for 100. What idiot wouldn't just take the three for the 30 a pop? I'd like to buy a block of 100 at $1 million. Thanks.
So you feel that you missed out.
What?
Now that you're back in it.
Oh, I'm telling you that I used to go to strip clubs.
And then you stopped.
And then I stopped for many years.
Yeah.
And then I made a little money and hung out with some fun people. And now I go back and it's more fun. I got a little money in my pocket.
I see.
And I enjoy myself a little more.
I see.
I'm in my very high pressure job.
Yes,
I have to blow off steam.
I see. Okay.
Chastity?
I have yet no desire to go.
Hello?
I really
don't. I know. You know what? Because it's like heroin. You don't have any. I didn't have any desire for all the years I didn't go. Then you go back in. You're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, my
this
God.
This is what we do.
Oh, jeez.
But you know what? I'll tell you. I don't do the local thing.
But
it's
you
only
even,
when I'm
even
traveling.
Hasn't this show. Oh, yeah. Hasn't this show ruined that? I mean, can't you?
No.
Don't you know what these women are about? You know what you're participating in with them.
I know, but
doesn't that bother you?
Yeah, but doesn't it bother you that you know what's in a hot dog?
No,
but it should. Doesn't it bother you?
That is not a human being staring you down.
Doesn't it bother you that you know how these pigs and cows are slaughtered?
You have to do that to survive.
You don't have to do that. You could just eat yourself some nice fish and vegetables.
And
no, you still get a nice big piece of steak, don't you?
This is not a good one.
It is good because you know something, but it does not, and it's not a pretty thing, but it doesn't get in the way of your visceral need.
Oh, I see. All right. Okay.
You've seen those films on like what they do to pigs how disgusting it is and the horrible conditions that chickens are in and everything. You still go eat one. You don't think about it. Your visceral Cro-Magnon need has trumped everything. Thank you. Chastity?
Hello?
Hey, you're 15. What's up?
Well, I've had anorexia for a few weeks. And
good times.
Yeah. And recently, I've been trying to force myself to eat, and I keep on feeling more and more sick to my stomach, like I can't keep it down. And I want to know how I can get treated for this without my parents knowing.
Would your parents let you get a therapist?
What?
Would your parents let you get a therapist?
I don't know. I never feel very comfortable talking to them.
What about going to OA? There are Overeaters Anonymous meetings that have eating disorder focuses.
Okay,
so that's something you could do on your own.
All right,
and you could tell counselor at school. Okay. And there are ways you can get a counselor. I would hope that if your counselors at school could help you with this,
they must at this day and age be hip to this at school.
Yeah.
I mean, they must have some resources. I mean, there's a lot of, if you go to a big high school, there's probably lots of girls who may have this problem, right?
The problem is, really, though, is that in terms of you getting better, the highest probability and the most efficient way is if your family participates.
Okay.
Yeah,
I guess I could talk to them.
Well, that would be good, Krista.
But it's your mom and her demand. I know, it's, what'd I say? It's your mom and her demand that you be perfect that caused the eating disorder in the first place. So how do you go talk to her and tell her you're not perfect?
There might be some gratification in that.
Ooh, a little payback. Mm. Is it, do your parents, are they over-dominating?
Not really. My mom isn't, but my dad's kind of critical.
Mm. I see. Okay, well, tell him, hey, Dad, here's what you got. Thanks for all the critiquing.
Okay.
All right, baby, take care of yourself. You'll be all fine. Right. Yeah, good times, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, good times.
All right.
All right, more stripper stories after this.
You know what I'm saying out there?
Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back on Loveline.
Hey, Loveline. Drew's on the phone with his office or something, trying to return a page. Conducting personal business while he's on the Loveline clock, as it were. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Okay. Drew's now hanging up the phone with his the hospital, the
Anything
office.
You can cause addiction, Adam. Did you know that?
And he's back. He's knocked over the coffee, and he's ready to rock. Ryan?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when I make out with my girlfriend, sometimes she makes these like funny noises, and I was wondering if that was normal.
Like what? What noises?
They're really strange, and they're like.
Yeah, it's bogus. I don't believe you.
You don't?
No.
And why not?
It just doesn't sound like a question.
You don't think that's a question?
No.
What are the noises?
They're like she's like weird groans, like not normal groans. Like maybe they could be considered as that, but they just sound too strange.
Like, can you imitate one?
It's like a moan with like a more high pitch, like.
Do one.
All right, I'll try.
All right,
it's more like a. Like that type of thing.
Like a slee stack?
A what?
Oh, a little Land of the Lost reference there that apparently was in the Land of the Lost when it comes to 15-year-old Ryan. Yeah, well, maybe you just excite her.
Yeah. Well, is that normal?
Yes.
It's fine.
It's normal.
Sounds fine.
Listen, let me tell you the purpose for Ryan's phone call. Ryan wanted. He's 15.
I'm making out.
He's making out, and he's called to tell the world.
He's making out. Yeah.
So let me do that for you. Hey, everybody! Ryan is finally getting some. I know it's been a long wait. We got started on this puberty thing years ago, and so far, snake eyes. But Ryan has found a woman dumb enough to hold still so that he could put his tongue in her mouth for brief periods of time. And you know what? She enjoys it. Mm-hmm. And you know how I know she enjoys it? She groans like a slee stack. Thank you. Drew, you don't know the slee stacks?
No.
Land of the Lost? Marshall, Will, and Holly? Routine Expedition?
Land of the Lost?
Chaka?
What was it?
Come on. It was this really bad Sid and Marty Krofft after school show where this whole family went on an expedition.
They end up with the dinosaurs.
Yeah,
remember that one.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah, Routine Expedition. And then the greatest earthquake ever known hits, and they go underground.
Cool.
Yeah. Because that's where dinosaurs are still alive.
Right. You come out the other side of the underground cave.
Yeah, so. Center of the earth.
Yeah.
They're still going strong.
I see.
Anyone knows that. Kim?
Yes.
You're 41. What's up?
Hi, Adam.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
And I just want to say that I think you are really funny, and I love the Man Show.
Why, thank
you. My husband and my boys, and I watch it every week.
Fantastic. How old are your boys?
Please?
How old are your sons?
20 and 21.
All right.
And, but I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I do smoke marijuana, and I've heard you say that people can get bronchitis from smoking it.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Can you get that even if, like, you don't have a cold beforehand?
No, it will give you chronic bronchitis.
It can give you chronic bronchitis?
It will give you that, yeah.
Well, you must have something that's making you call, like bronchitis.
Well,
if you get
a cold,
I'm expecting that I do, but I'm afraid to go to my family doctor because I'm afraid he may. He knows I don't smoke cigarettes, and he's going to wonder how come I got this bronchitis.
Why don't you talk to him about your weed problem?
Well, I don't think I have a weed problem.
You smoke weed every day till you're getting bronchitis. You're having medical complications from your marijuana use.
How much?
Don't you think that's something appropriate to talk to your doctor about?
How much weed do you smoke?
I just smoke usually when I listen to you guys.
All right.
Yeah, we're on every night.
You guys every night. It's real late here where I live.
Okay, so listen, man. It's time to talk to your doctor about this.
But, I mean, will he turn me into the police?
No.
Kim, I run a large addiction recovery program. Do I make a report every time I admit a heroin addict to the hospital?
Drew has narked a few folks out this day.
I mean, think about that. That would mean everybody that saw the doctor, which is 10% of the country, who talks about their substance use, would get turned into the police.
Okay. Okay, well, I appreciate your helping me.
You need to talk to your doctor about it, all right?
Okay.
You need some
help. All right, thanks, and have a good night.
This isn't Nazi Mexico. Yeah, they always say Nazi Germany, but I think I like to mix it up every once in a while. Put another country at the end of that. Cody?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Every time I'm done taking a I like shake a little bit.
Well, you get that too.
Yeah, every guy does.
I don't get that very much.
You don't?
That's if you get up in the middle of the night and do that once in a while, sometimes you'll pass out.
No.
Yeah. That's called post-micturation syncope. That's part of the sort of response your body has at the end of your micturation.
Yeah, it's to shake the extra whiz off your penis.
It's a shudder.
That's why God did it. Yeah. I only do it when I think about it. You know what I'm saying? And I only think about it when I'm in an airport bathroom because there's people around and I think, oh, man, am I going to get that weird spaz thing?
And then pow. Well, and it's an alteration of your blood pressure and pulse that's occurring, and it can actually cause you to pass out.
Yeah. You'll be fine, Cody.
Yeah, the guy I talked to before I got to you guys told me that, like, he never heard of that before.
No, it's a common thing.
Really?
This is Damien's night, so
we
got to
fire this Damien. Yeah. I was going to wait till the end of the show to fire him, but I think we should just let him go, you know, mid-show.
Yeah, after his poor performance tonight, why not?
Well, the callers, and as you know... And Cody, you know this from listening to the show. You callers are my babies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think all of you is my kids. But I don't think of me as a regular dad. I think of myself more of a drunk and abusive stepdad. You see, that's the twist.
Throughout his life, a man beloved by the children.
Yeah, that's shaky, that... Yeah, you get it. You know, I get it when there's other... Hiccup. I get it when I'm in front of people, though.
What?
I don't think I do it alone.
Yeah.
I get a little like, hey, who's around? And then... Mostly at the airport. I do it with you once in a while I'm in the bathroom there.
Yeah. Let's go pee after this.
Okay. Brian?
Yep.
You're 20?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Yeah, I've been taking this medication called Dexedrine.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering what the long-term side effects could be.
Well, there really, that's actually a tough question to answer thoroughly, but there really are not any significant long-term effects. I have concerns about Dexedrine being used in people over the age of 18, though.
Why? What is that?
It's for ADD, and a very significant percentage of ADD patients have addiction.
Remember when they used to call them Dexies?
Yeah.
They used to call it Dexatrim. For weight loss.
Yeah.
No, it's a totally different thing.
And then what was Benny short for? Barbiturate? Bennies?
No. That,
what, you got some Bennies? You got some Dexies?
That was a stimulant too, wasn't it, Bennies?
I think it was, but I don't know what Bennies... I'd like to know what class of drug a Benny was. Bennies and Dexies.
Also,
Benzedrine.
Does having ADD... affect your kind of social competency in any way?
It can. People with ADD tend to have more in the way of personality problems sometimes.
I think I have some personality problems as far as trying to be, you know, having social skills.
So you have like a social phobia?
Yeah.
You're anxious and social.
Yeah, situations. Well, I have a problem initiating friendships.
Yeah.
Do you have any friends?
No.
None, huh?
No.
Wow, that's weird, isn't it? Now you feel worse, but you just have no friends.
No, I don't.
And no girlfriends? No?
Yeah, you gotta have friends first before you can get a girlfriend.
Right. You a virgin?
No.
What happened? Who held still long enough for you to get on top of him?
Well, it seems like I had a lot of friends before I moved.
Hmm.
And I moved out to the Midwest.
Yeah.
And I went to the...
Yeah, I understand. Where do you work?
I don't have a job.
Oh, you go to school?
Yeah, I go to the junior college.
Uh-oh. Yeah, don't hook up with any of those losers.
Well, Adam, you can never speak enough ill about the community college. It's really, it's like everybody got slammed in the head with a bunch of doorknobs.
Which one do you go to?
Huh?
Which one do you, huh? Which one do you go to?
Go to?
Yeah, the junior college.
Attend? Which junior college do you attend?
One in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
Well, you go to that metro, what's the one downtown in Denver there? Metropolitan?
All right. I'm not going to take 20 minutes to squeeze this guy like we're the Gestapo trying to get some information out of him. That's what I love about our listeners. The most mundane of questions turns into 20 questions.
Yeah.
You go to junior college? Which one, huh?
Yeah.
Which one do you go to? Which one what?
Yeah.
Remember you were talking about junior colleges? Yeah. Which junior college?
Huh?
It's in the greater Colorado area. Is it in the... is that that one, the metro one, the one that's in downtown Denver? No. That's 6 questions. You're down to 15. You're down to 14. Let's go. Next one. Take a look. Just give the goddamn college.
Next. Toady Fields.
What the hell are we doing here? Look, anyone who's listening to this show, if you see us, like, getting at something, feel free just to go ahead and put it out there. Okay, Toady, that's 5 questions. Is the enrollment of the college more... Would it be a specialized college? No, that's 13 down, Bill.
That's back to
Nipsey Russell.
Nipsey, yes.
Would this be a college... Does this college have a football team that we may have heard of? No, I'm sorry. That's 12 questions and back to Toady. Toady, just spit it out, please. Everyone. Drew's gonna keep scratching around until he finds out what junior college Brian went to. Ty?
Ty?
Yeah?
Ty, you know what bennies are?
Yeah. It's in World War II, it was a stimulant used by the Allies because I think it was, Hitler, he put all his guys on meth. So we had these, they were inhalers, Benzedrine. And basically, you're supposed to inhale it, and it would basically, it would give you a little pep, so you'd stay up and you'd eat less.
I thought bennies were pills, though.
Ultimately, they were, I'm sure.
All right.
Well, yeah, they came in little, like, they were cotton swabs inside the inhalers, and you could just take them and eat them or dissolve them.
So, is it Benzedrine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Thank you, Ty.
Yeah, no problem.
Good times. Take a little break. Drew, I'm going to demonstrate the shiver for you while I
urinate. Oh, yeah. We got to pee.
We'll be back. Back in a minute. You don't know, huh?
Sounds fine to me.
Oh, really?
Me too.
Well, it must be my headphones.
Yeah.
Or cans, as I like to call them in the business. All right. Well, it's Love Line.
Did you shudder, by the way?
Ooh, everything's bad. Well, it sounds really bad.
Did you shudder, by the way?
No. No, I was consciously trying not to. I didn't want to entertain you any more than I already have when I was urinating. Jessica?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Hi, this is Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm having problems right now with my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the other day I went over to my boyfriend's house, and it was, like, late, and he wasn't expecting me to come over, and his email was pulled up on... You know, on the computer, and I went over to the computer to check out my email or whatever, and his inbox is right there, and I noticed some emails from this website, and it was kind of strange. There was a few of them, so I don't know. I didn't want to be nosy, but I don't know. I had this bad feeling. I clicked on it. I looked, and it was some adult personal site. He apparently signed up for some like website that has like sex personals or whatever.
It's funny, women perceive men interacting in an intimate way over the web as cheating.
Yeah.
Men reserve actual physical contact for cheating.
Right.
And so she's sort of getting into what many women do, which is, hey, he's having these discussions with these women on the web. It's freaking me out.
Meanwhile, you crazy broads are getting a full body massage twice a month where you're actually having your body, your nude body, oiled up and contacted by some good-looking burly guy. And we don't say ass. How dare you?
Well,
go ahead, Jessica.
Well, I don't know. I understand what you're saying, but it's one thing to look at, like, porno on the internet, and there's, like, another thing where you have to sign up your name and then your information, and then this website was, like, sending them him, like, personal, like, matches, like, hey, here's some other broads in your area that you might be interested in.
Listen, I'm not saying it's not understandable that you'd be kind of affected by this.
Wait a minute. Maybe she's onto something here. I mean, it's not like he's just looking at porn.
Yeah, you know, he was like, he really, like, took his time out or something.
Like this is like a personal ad?
Yeah, like, it's not even like, you know, pictures of naked chicks. It's like, you know, it's personal ads like, hi, I'm, you know, 23 and I live in this town and
email me
for some fun.
What's your sign?
What's your
measurement?
These are for email hookups?
Well, yeah, it's like a sex personal ad.
What's up with these guys?
It kind of bothers me as it is.
Okay, so did you confront him?
Yeah, and he said that one of his friends went over to his place and like signed up, and I said, well, why couldn't he use your email or his email? And he said that he already had some.
All right. Well, look, do you think this guy's cheating or not?
Well, I don't think he's cheating now, but we've been fighting a lot, and we've been with each other for a year and a half, and I think, like, the last 8 months have been, like, really kind of bad.
All right, maybe you should break up.
You think so?
Yeah. You've been with him. Here's the deal, y'all. If you're with someone, look, if you got five kids, you've been together for 13 years, and the last 6 months have been a little shaky, you haul your ass into the therapist's office, see if you can hash something out. When you're 25 and your boyfriend's in his 20s and you've been together for a year and a half, and the last over half a year, meaning over half of your relationship, has been basically, or about half of your relationship, the last 8 months, has been shaky, put a fork in it.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah.
He's on the internet. You don't trust him. You're angry at him. You guys have been going at it for 8 months. Just call it done. That's fine. You'll have one more, and then you'll meet Mr. Right. Anna?
Yeah, hello?
You're 29.
Oh, my goodness. This was so fast. Hi, how are you?
What's up, baby?
I just wanted to call and tell you, you know, I heard you talking about the strip bars, and I wanted to share with you, in Canada, there's an all-male strip bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone there with a group of friends as a going away for me.
Where in Canada?
In Windsor.
All right.
And what I expected was kind of like a silly joke. And instead what it was just a completely tempting, amazing, erotic experience. And I ended up going home, and I don't think I've ever been as sexually frustrated.
Really?
Absolutely. And I ended up calling...
An escort?
I'm sorry?
Alan Thick? No. Who'd you call?
Oh, I'm sorry. I called my little sister and just told her how yummy it was. And I said, you know, this is really a bad thing because, I mean, it gets you all revved up. And basically, I actually literally called it heroin. I said, you want more? And what can you do other than, you know, start having either casual sex with these people or whatever?
Wow.
And literally by Sunday, Adam, by Sunday I was talking to a male friend of mine, and I started crying because at the time I was celibate. I'm celibate unless I'm in a committed relationship with somebody I love. And I started crying, and I said, you know, you shouldn't turn on the stove if you're not going to cook.
Right. Well, you're. Let me get this straight. You're celibate in a relationship?
Unless she's in a relationship.
Oh, unless you're in a relationship
with
somebody
you
love.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, all right. And so what you're saying is this works for women, too.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, honestly, to tell you the truth, I think that you guys have a good show, but in one area I think you fall short, and that's that I don't think you acknowledge women's sexuality enough.
Yeah, well, let me address that, Anna, because I believe you're right. And, Drew, I think you'll admit to this, that you go a little over the top in that one direction with it sometimes.
Well,
and then
mostly.
I'm usually the one who challenges you and says, look, there's a lot of, there are women out there who want to score, who want a good time, who want to have sexuality. And Anna, we do try to be fair with that. I think what the problem that happens on this show, honestly, is we meet so much resistance.
Right.
Drew tries to hammer a point home, and when he hammers a point home, he becomes a little black and white with things in order to make his point.
Or it seems like that's my only point of view, that I'm not willing to acknowledge the rest.
Right.
And, that's
we certainly are willing to acknowledge that there's women of all ages, especially as they climb a little closer to 30 and beyond.
But.
Who,
but?
Yeah.
There's a big but there. That's
Thanks for
the
cutting me off, by the way.
I'm sorry.
But?
But that's called a yeah, but. Yeah, but. This my sexuality was as strong when I was 16, 17, and 18. The only problem is for a woman, you're in such a catch-22. You always are.
Why?
Because if you live in a community where people know you, there is no way that you're going to gain a tremendous amount of esteem or love or security or future opportunities by sleeping around.
Hold on.
Stinking whore.
Hold on a second. Let me talk about Anna behind her back. She got a little energy with the sexuality here with the monogamous. Celibate. Loving monogamous relationship.
Let's find out what's going on.
And there's some seething there.
Yeah,
and there's something wanting to come out. You come from a religious family?
Not at all.
And who looking for the word bestowed or instilled all of these thoughts into your head?
Honestly, I really think, I'm not sure where you guys grew up, but I have a really wonderful group of women friends, and in every single case, the woman has a strong sexuality. I mean, I think you guys present the male point of view.
Yes, we do, and no, I do agree that there are plenty of horny women. Here's what we say. It's a different kind of horniness than men, and that's what we're trying to underscore on the show.
Right.
Okay.
Obviously,
I would probably agree with that.
That's the point.
And what I'm asking you is you have a lot of thoughts about sort of virtue.
Yeah, I do.
And you don't come from a religious family.
Well, but I am myself. I mean, I've done a lot of things in my life based on my own values. I have very strong values that I came upon just through life. And so, I mean, I try to live my values. It's more important to me. I always say that when I die, I don't want to go kicking.
All right. As soon as I find out she wasn't a slut, I had to hang up. She doesn't go kicking what?
Kicking
herself in the ass. Okay, we got to take a break. Thanks, Anna, though. Appreciate that.
Hello. This is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody. Well, there you go. Another fantabulous episode of Loveline safely in the ground.
Oh.
We're going to have someone from American Pie 2 tomorrow night
nice.
In this studio.
Then Seth Green Wednesday.
Yes, I love that man. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
We know you have blood out your rectum here, see?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.